Good evening. It's, the 3 months has gone by a little bit too fast, indeed. But we're anxious to get back and get back into the swing and just, you know, pray, as Dan said, pray for the ministries there. And, of course, after being away for this long, it's, when you're away from any kind of a ministry or from a work, there's adjustments to get back into the routine and so on, and getting back into the ministries. They've carried on to a certain degree without you, and so just integrating back in again. And so we'll definitely need help and wisdom and strength in that regard as well. Before we get into the message, I did want to take just a minute just to kind of give you an idea of what we were doing for the summer as well. I didn't take time this morning. I already took enough of your time, overtime, but I'm known for that. I'd have to hold to my reputation not to go overtime. But this summer, it was a bit of a busy summer on the weekends. We started out taking a little bit of a vacation down to see Heather's parents in Kitchener. And then we came home and we worked at camp for a couple weeks. We did Ezra, College and Careers, Ezra, and Boys Camp. We helped out there a bit. I hope we helped. And so we were able to be down at camp for that. We enjoyed that. And then we had a couple other nights there, I think, through the summer. And then we got into our traveling. And so I think it started out in York Falls. Given report, and then we went to where did we go to? Nulishkirt, I think. I might not have the right order. And then we went down to Ottawa on the same trip as we did the Nulishkirt trip, and then back home again. And then somewhere in there, we did Matheson. Yeah, on the way home from Ottawa, I think we did Matheson, and then we did where else did we go? Chapleau, and then so that was July in the north. And then Sudbury for the long weekend in August, giving a report there. And then what was the next one? Down to Toronto, gave a report at one of the gospel halls down there. And then went up to Collingwood, spent some time up in Collingwood, gave a report there on the Wednesday night. Went to Tavistock and gave a report on the Thursday night. Back to Toronto on the Sunday to give a report at Westmount Bible Chapel in Toronto. And then home. That was about an 11-day run, I think, that one. That was the busiest one. And then we, where did we go after that? It was Toronto. And then, somewhere. Oh, Kirkland Lake. Yeah. The last one was here, but the last traveling one was in Kirkland Lake. And then we had to take Jacob to Sudbury. And then I had the weekend off there, so that was nice. And so then we were back here and as with you here, and we're thankful to be able to finish up our time here in Timmins, and to be with each of you here, and to be able to share this morning and again this evening. And so thank you for that opportunity. So it was a bit of a whirlwind. Jacob, I just saw a message. Jacob got back into Sudbury around 6:30, and so that's and he's jumping right into College and Careers tonight down there. They start that at 7:30, so at 7, I think, or 7:30. So he'll be joining his first College and Careers event. And so we just keep him in prayers as well as he adjusts to adulthood and having to think for himself and in a lot of ways and do a lot of things for himself that mom and dad used to do a lot of thinking and doing on. And so he's had to adjust to that quite abruptly this week. And he did well from what we can gather. So we just keep him in prayers. And we thank you. We're thankful and we appreciate all of you that have are praying for us and all of you who are supporting us in one way or another, and even to the point of moving out of your own home. And we appreciate that as well, and for all who have shown such love and support and continue to do so. And again, it was a real privilege to have Dan and Nina down with us earlier this year. And if there is anybody interested, there is an E-team going in November. There is it's It's a different atmosphere than what you would get coming to visit us. It's a very scheduled, well, we're scheduled too, but a very structured 14 days or whatever it is, and it's quite intense, and it's not for the faint at heart or the weak knees, because there's a lot of moving and walking and such and a lot of other things. Now, there is added cost to go through the E-team, because you pay for your own ticket, but then you pay a fee over and above that as well. And so if you're interested in that, you could see Matt. He's got, Matt Robertson, he's got probably some information he can help direct you on. But it's through MSC, and if you go on the MSC website, you can find the E-team's information there, or through its own website, I believe. You can get information on that, or you can just let us know and come and see us, and we'll keep you busy. Apart from an E-team, or Bob could keep you busy in Jamaica too, Bob and Janie. So if that's on your heart, of any sort, no matter where you go, don't sit on it. Let the Lord work and move and guide you, and go where He leads. That's the important thing. Whether it doesn't have to be out of country, it can be just down the street, but wherever He leads, be willing to go, and you'll be blessed indeed. And so this evening I'd like to look into the book of James, just really particularly two verses to start us off, James chapter 1. And Dan's hymns were not by coincidence. He had a hint on what I was going to be speaking on. And so there's some connections in relation to what we sang about this evening. And we're going to look at James chapter 1 and verse. And now, again, as I spoke this morning, I'm not speaking to you. I was speaking to you, but it's to myself this morning as well, but also this evening is to myself as well. And of course, I know I fall short so often. Don't be fooled by the fact that I retired from my job, and Heather as well, and the boys, and we sold everything pretty much big that we own, left Canada and we're these, holy, righteous, real spiritual people. I mean, don't be fooled by what we've done and what we've left behind. We're just human beings that God has called to go and do something. And as frail as we are, we try to do it as faithfully as we can. And that's what each of us are called to do. But we'll see what we can glean from this here. So James chapter 1 and verse 22, we're just going to break in here, and I just want to look at really these two verses here. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be a blessing in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. Religion is pure and undefiled before God. The Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And of course, that's a daily challenge for sure, to keep the world out of our life, right? To keep the world out. So I trust the Lord will bless the reading of His word, and of course there'll be other portions that we'll look at, Lord willing. So the question is, what does it mean to be doers of the word? Doers of the word. You know, the book of James gives us a very practical command here. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, James urges us to listen to God's word and to demonstrate a sincere commitment to the Lord by responding to what we hear in obedience. And of course, I know I'm speaking to myself, and you get the benefit of listening to me talk to myself from this. And if you've worked with me or been around me, you know that I do that. I often talk to myself, Heather saw it somewhere one day and sent it to me, but if you hear me talking to myself, I'm having a board meeting and something like that. We're having a staff meeting. I think actually that's what it was. But, you know, from what I can tell from the original language, and I'm no scholar in that, But it gives the sense that we must keep on becoming doers of God's word, doers of God's will, and being doers and not hearers only. It's a continual habit that we need to be into. We need to have. It's got to be a part of our lifestyle, and we've got to continually be doers for Him. And doers of the word would be the opposite of Sunday morning Christians who go to church, to some service somewhere. They sit and listen to the message and then view it as merely a very, an interesting, motivational message. And they leave feeling really good. And then Monday, or even shortly after the service, they leave. They're on this high, and then it just fades away, right? It just disappears. There's no real substance to it. They felt good for a little while, and then it just, that high fades away. And, the Lord told us that in Luke chapter 11, if you wish to turn there, I'll read it for you, if not. But Luke chapter 11 in verse 28 would tell us there that the Lord said that only doers of the word are truly blessed. Luke 11 and 28 says, but he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And, I've been guilty many, many times of hearing messages and saying, wow, that was a wonderful message. That was a really good message. And it pricks my heart a little bit. And then I tune it out because I didn't like what where it was going, so to say. I didn't like what God was trying to tell me or whatever, right? And so you just try and push it away and shut out what the Lord is trying to tell us. But, of course, we're reminded here, we are blessed as we hear the word of God and we keep it and we cherish it and we live by it and live it out, living it out. And so we're going to look a little bit more about that as well. James as well, he stresses the need to act, as we've said already, the need to act on what we hear. He says that we are fooling ourselves if we think we can be hearers only and not doers of the word. And he gives a very practical example here of that, and I think we'll come to that shortly, yes. But first of all, it means you may read the word of God. We may be committed to having our daily devotions or reading throughout the day several times. But if we don't practice it, you'll lose out on the wisdom and the blessing God has in store for us. I know I miss due to the fact that number one, I didn't have an inherent gift in it, on both of them, playing the piano or playing the guitar. I did it. But I didn't have that natural gift that many do. I resisted and fought through practices, being forced to sit on the bench, tears streaming down my cheeks because I wanted to go do something, but I had to practice the piano, and I had to play the guitar. I look back on it now and I regret it greatly, because when I sit and listen to all you ladies. And even Greg Massioli, who sits and he'll play, and others that can play wonderfully, and it just piano music and well played guitar. I had a 12-string guitar, and we sold that before I left. We left, but a well played 12-string is beautiful. But if we don't discipline ourselves to practice, it's just going to fade away, right? And we had the Doe family here, and I mean, I was just in awe listening to the guy play the guitar or all the stringed instruments. I mean, it was tremendous skill. But and so we lose out on the blessing if we don't practice it, if we don't get into it and live it out and make it a part of our daily life, reading the Word of God and doing what it says, and not just picking and choosing, saying, the Bible says A, B, and C, and, I like A, I'm not so much sure about B, let's consider C, maybe we'll think about it, but that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at A, B, and C, and take all of them, right, and live them out, And I know so often for myself that I've looked at A, B, and C and all the way to Z or whatever, but selected what I really like. And yeah, I'll live that. I won't do that. That's going to cost me too much, or, you know, my time or money or whatever, right? And so we pick and choose, and that's not what God has called us to do. And so as we take a slow look at the Word of God, a slow, serious look, we should ask ourselves, a number of things, but three questions would be, what does it say? So as we look into the Holy Scriptures, look into the Bible, yes, a daily devotion, there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe we don't have, there isn't time in the morning to do our in-depth study because of commitments or the time of day and so on. And a morning devotion, a short devotion is fine. But don't replace that with studying the Word of God. You don't need to be like a Ravi Zacharias or Billy Graham in your study, but study the Word of God in the way that works for you, and look at it and grab some helps if you need to, but get into the Word and look at it. Do you need to go, do you need to read 10 chapters a day? No. If you just read one verse a day and you get into that verse and you look at what God is trying to tell you through that verse, and that's your verse, that's what you've done for the day, wonderful. Don't, somebody that could look at, multiple chapters a day and glean many things from it, their learning style is different from yours and mine and so on. And so we just, what works for you, and be open to the Lord and let Him lead you in that. But don't neglect looking and studying into God's Word. Do you need to have a stack of commentaries beside your chair? No. But be willing to read and look into God's Word. So what does it say? What does it mean? And how does it apply to me? We can look at number one and two, and we can say, that's wonderful. What is it saying? Whatever. Look at any kind of a teaching. This one here even, right? But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so, what does it say? Well, be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. What does it mean? Well, it really speaks for itself. But how does it apply to me? Whoa. So we put up that barrier of saying, I'm a doer, or we justify our choices, we justify our behavior, we justify what we are doing as for the Lord. But remember, though, that wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up, right? And only what's done for Christ, only when life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last, right? And so we need to remember, and we need to check our motives. And I know I've definitely had wrong motives many, many times in what I've done. And so, therefore, we do not deceive ourselves into thinking that reading alone or simply coming to church once a week is all it takes. And of course, these are, you aren't the people that come once a week. But I encourage you to come, and don't just do your duty. I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir here, but, we're not just to do our duty and, we have the list of things to do for the week, and one of them is go to church on Sunday because I know that's where I should be on Sunday and so on. But we're to go and we're to be invested in it. Don't just be a seat warmer, but be invested in it. And whatever that is for you, that can be any array of things. And if you're not sure how you can invest in God's assembly or in the church, if you're just visiting, wherever you go to somebody that you know is active in the church and ask them where you can help out, and ask God to show you where you can help out in wherever He would have you. I was talking to a lady this morning, and she was saying, all I can do is pray. I said, no, not all you can do. She felt as though she was insufficient. And I said, no, your value in prayer is what you can do at this stage in life. That's where you are at in your stage of life. Maybe physically you can't do what you once used to do, but you can pray. No matter where you are, held up in a chair, any of us, driving, flying, working, we can pray, right? If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But, you know, just we need to remember, though. It's not, well, you know, we don't feel like, well, all I can do is pray. No, no. Prayer is the powerhouse of the Christian life. I mean, we need to be in God's Word, but praying, and again, I'm speaking to myself, something that I fail in miserably, but we need to be people of prayer. Be doers of the Word, right? Pray without ceasing. And I don't know who it was. I think somebody was talking to us about it late recently, but, well, it, through the study on Wednesday nights there. But, you know, do we continually pray? You know, the life goes on, but it can be a conversation that we just pick up, as it were, with God. And yeah, we have to take a little break and do some things and whatever, but it's like we can just keep going back, right? And it's like that friend that you haven't seen in years. I mean, hopefully that's not our prayer life, but, you know, I mean, where you can just pick up where you left off, right? You can just pick up where you left off, and just like you never were apart. You've been together for years and years, and you just meet up again and pick up from that last conversation or whatever, and carry on. That's our prayer life, is just to circle back on it and just keep going back to the Lord and to continually pray. And we will. I know in my life, when I live by that, things go much smoother, of course, right? And we keep that day, that open communication with the Lord, and be listening to Him, right? And I know when I was working at GoCorp, I had, I don't know, up to 30 dump truck drivers working for me at one point, and they didn't like the chit chat on the two-way radio, and so they would turn it down, and you'd be calling somebody, and, you know, you, so-and-so, do you copy, right? And the volume was down, and they couldn't hear, right? And sometimes in our life, God is calling to us, hey, Ian, do you copy? Ian, and we can't hear him, right? Our life is too noisy, as it were, right? We're just not in tune with what God is trying to say to us. And I gave a presentation to my guys one time when I was, I think it was when I was working at Day, and it was talking about noise in our life and at work and so on. And it was in leadership development with the guys and such. And we were just talking about that. There's so much noise in our life. And noise doesn't have to be noise as its definition, like an actual physical noise, but it's the busyness of life. It's the things in life that distract us and take our time. It's all kinds of things that can be noise in our life. If I had been allowed to, I would have took the presentation with me, because I'd love to go back and see it and get it again. But I know who I could talk to probably get it. If it was that day that I did it, there's a fellow there that could probably help me out. So we need to be mindful of that. We need to, what does it say? What does it mean? How does this apply to me? You know, people who sincerely love God are those who keep His commands. John chapter 14. So if we sincerely love God, we'll do this. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. John 14 and 15. John 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We could look at that one too. John 13 and 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And of course, that's an important one as well. And it's been well said before that unsaved people can actually treat each other better than lots of times than Christians treat each other. And that's horrible. And I've heard that many, many times where, you know, there's so much inner bickering. I saw it on Facebook. There's a page, New Testament Assemblies. And somebody came on there recently and said about the post being visible to their friends, and something to the effect of the inner bickering, you know, among the God's people. And I mean, that's, you know, that happens, that inner bickering within ourselves, that conflict. And we're the ones, you know, that are to show love. By this people will know that you are my disciples. And heaven forbid, if an unsaved person ever saw two Christians hashing it out and it turned them away from the Lord, I hope that never is, it would be something that would be characteristic of me, that, you know, I was having it out with somebody and an unsaved person, with another Christian, and an unsaved person saw that and said, if that's how two Christians act, I'm out of here, right? I mean, heaven forbid that would ever happen. And there's other verses we could look at as well. God desires that those who hear his word become dedicated followers of Jesus. Jesus' disciples, or the disciples who obey the Lord's teaching, because they know and love their heavenly Father. And we could look at John 14 and verse 23 to 24. So in relation to that, God desires that those who hear his word will become dedicated followers of Jesus. And it says here, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You know, going back to that, you know, that ABC, you know, example where we see A, we see B, and we see, you know, and C, and yeah, A is easy to swallow. I can do that one. And B, ooh, that one hurts, or I don't like B. And then, and C, you know, yeah, we can negotiate on C, right? That's not what God says, what the Lord says here. Keep my word, and not with the ones you choose, but keep my word. And again, the message is directed at myself for sure. And on the other side, you know, the Lord gave a very stern warning to people who hear the words of God but don't act on them. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7 and 21. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Right? And so they thought they were doing all these wonderful things. And again, there's, as I mentioned, I may have mentioned here, I can't remember if I used the message here or not, but the difference between knowing and knowing about Jesus has an eternity of difference, right? There's all these people that can say, as I mentioned this morning, they say they're a Christian, but they're not a Christian, right? They don't have the Lord Jesus in their heart. Anyone can say that they're a Christian. I mean, I could say I'm the president of Northern College. I mean, the president sitting right here, right? But I am not the president of Northern College, right? Or anything. You know, I always dreamed of being a firefighter. I always dreamed of being a fighter pilot until my stomach told me otherwise. But it doesn't make me a fighter pilot. I could watch all the movies there are. I could play all the video games there are and be the best fighter pilot in the video game world and get into a plane and into one of the jets and, well, we'll stop there. But, you know, it doesn't make me what I think I am because that's not me, right? And so these people here, right, you know, Lord, you know, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works? And then he says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Right? Come unto me. Come unto me is that great invitation that Jesus is giving today, right? Come unto me and I will give you rest. You know, the Lord James reinforces his command to be doers of the word with two illustrations, one negative and one positive. And we saw here, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And so in the first example, James is comparing a passive listener, which is like me many times, of the word, to someone who looks carefully at himself, but then walks away and forgets what he looked like, right? And, sometimes we can not look in the mirror and go out and people see what we actually look like, right? We could be all dirty. We don't know it, but other people know it because from what they can see on us, right? And then when you get home and you look in the mirror, you're like, I was out in public like that, right? And I've done that before, and others here have too. And so we have to be conscious of that we need to look in the mirror and we need to do something about it. And God's mirror is the Word of God, the Bible, right here. And that's where we get the real picture of what we are like, not what we think we look like, right? You see these pictures of people that, they look in them, they're one thing, and they when they look in the mirror, they see a different shape of their body or what they look like. And I'm sure we've seen those cartoons. And God's Word isn't going to give us that disillusioned look of ourselves. It's going to show us what we really look like. And tell us what we need to do to make us look like what he wants us to look like, to be more like Christ, to act more like Christ, and so on. So this individual disregards what he saw, letting it drop from his mind, and then it isn't just a lazy listening. It's listening without any real faith, without any real desire to hear from God and to let God change our heart. And I know that is been me on many, too many occasions for sure. And the word may enter a person's ears and eyes. We may read it, we may hear it, but the power of it has no effect on us. And again, I'm sure all of us, if we're honest, can enter into that at one time or another, where we've heard the word, we've seen the word, and it's just been like water off a duck's back, right? And just gone and rolled off. The parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, through application, we use it in the gospel, but through application in the life of the believer, we could say, use the four different types of soil like this. The hardened soil in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. But the hardened soil, a heart that has become so hard that it refuses to receive spiritual truth. We've selectively chosen what we want to apply to our life. We've selectively chosen what we think is what whatever we think is suitable for us, and then we disregard the rest. Right? We become resistant to the truth, to God's truth, and to what God has for us. Then we would look at the next one, that the shallow soil. That we would have here, a heart that easily responds out of emotion and without really making any real commitment. And then spiritual decisions are short-lived in this kind of soil, right? So they have that fell along the path, that hard soil. Some seeds fell upon rocky ground, right? There's not much soil there. And so, it seems like it took root, but then when trials and things come into our life, it falls apart, right? Because there's no substance to it. It's just an emotion, in our life, with no real roots to it. The other one is the thorny soil, and we have that in verse 7, 13 and 7. This is a heart that is focused on the cares of the world, and then it becomes spiritually unproductive because everything else is more important than God and His Word. And that can easily come into our life. Everything else is more important than God and His Word. Today, with the ease, and I'm sure it's been around forever, but the ease of overtime or of taking those, doing that extra stuff and whatever, whatever it might be. I don't want to list too many things here, but those things that are more important than God's Word. And that's not just, I don't just mean it's more important than just reading, but more important than God. Let's just put it that way, right? More important than all that is enveloped in having a relationship with God, being gathered with the Lord's people. Yes, there are commitments that we have that we can't be at, you know, we can't be at meeting, you know, at the services for one reason or another. But when there isn't anything that keeps us away that we can't get out of, I would encourage each of us to come and gather with the Lord's people, to be under the influence of God's word, to be gathered together, to be under the influence of the prayers of the Lord's people, to be able to sing the hymns. God has not called us to be couch Christians or just house Christians on our own. He has called us to come together. Hebrews reminds us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, right? We're to come together. And there's power in prayer. The prayer meeting is probably one of the smallest meetings in all of the assemblies that I've ever been part of. And I encourage you to come, to make it a priority to be with the Lord's people at prayer meeting. Really, really important. It, you know, if you come with the right heart and the right attitude, you will leave blessed as a result of coming. You know, some have said, oh, it's so boring, you know, and it's just, you hear all these lame excuses, and it's sad. But the prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the assembly. When we come together, there is power in individual prayer. I am not discrediting that at all. But there is tremendous power in collective prayer. There is tremendous power in collective prayer. And so, we're to pray. There's so many things that we could label in being doers of for the Lord, not hearers only. And so we have the fertile soil in verse 8. A heart that is hungry for spiritual truth and that realizes it and allows it to transform their life, our my life, and we are able to recognize and do God's good and perfect will for our life. We're to live out what is pleasing to God. You know, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, we must have a heart of fertile soil, a heart of fertile soil, a heart that is able to absorb what God is telling us and then, as it were, squeeze it like a sponge and let it come back out for His purpose, for His will, right? We absorb that. We absorb what God wants for us, and then we allow God to squeeze us, as it were, and then when you squeeze a sponge, it comes back out, and then and that have that pyramid effect, whatever it is, on one individual, maybe. But as a result of touching that individual's life, that individual has an effect, right? And it's that pyramid effect that we can have, whatever it might be, right? Just be willing to be used by God and to allow Him to work in our life. In the second example, James, he describes a listener who hears and absorbs God's word, taking it into his heart and letting it change his or her life. Verse 25, James 1 and 25. But the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You know, the word of God is goes beyond provoking thoughts and meditation. It requires more than just memorizing the word of God, which all these things are great, and memorizing it and maybe sharing it with others. But it demands a change of heart, change of my heart, that causes a change in behavior, a change in behavior. And the word of God is to be obeyed. And again, this is very, very relevant for myself. And each day, every day, that as I read the word of God, I need to let it penetrate my heart and change my heart in the way that would cause me to be more like Christ. That's what we're to be like every day. Sanctification, we're to be more like Christ every single day of our life and to live for Him. And you know, I could list a number of things here in being doers. You know, not everyone, like I said, is called to sell their house and pack everything they own into a 20-foot container, you know, an 8x8x20-foot container, as much as you can jam in there. We could have got more, and we wish we had got more, but we didn't, you know. But, you know, jam it all in there, put it on a, let it go and get on a boat and hope that it arrives on the other end, you know. And it did. It was on it was, our stuff was in the container for about a month. But I think by the time we landed there, we had it within 2 weeks. But you know, just, you know, those things, whatever it is. I mean, you might be, the Lord might call, tell you to talk to your coworker at work who's having a tough time, you know, going through an illness, whatever, a family member suffering. Maybe going to talk to your neighbor. Bob tells us often of his neighbor next to him. You know, whatever it is, giving to someone, giving a gift of fellowship to someone. Doesn't have to be a full-time worker. Some that you know that might be going through a difficult need, a difficult time, financial need. Maybe there isn't even a financial need that you know of, but you give it to them. Telling someone, sending them a note, telling them you care, you're praying for them or you love them. Whatever, there's, you know the list of things. You know the things that God has told you to do and you haven't done. I know the list of things that He has told me to do and I haven't done. But what He wants us to do is to be doers of the word and just to live for Him, to obey Him. Are we going to do it perfectly? No, we're not. But if we're going to do it, if we do it willingly and allow Him to work through us, that's what He wants. You know, I've said so often, I feel so ill-equipped to be doing what I'm doing in Belize. I do. I really feel ill-equipped. But I'm equipped. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And He is able to give us the strength that we need. He's able to give us the tools we need to do what He wants us to do. And, you know, it's people like yourselves that make it possible for us to do what He has called us to do. And your prayers and the practical support of, you know, all the Lord's people all over the place that make it possible for thousands and thousands of missionaries and local workers to do what they do, that don't have a regular job, don't have a regular paycheck, but allows them to do what God has called them to do because of other people who are doing what God has called them to do, right? And we won't sing it because you don't know it, I don't expect, but I thought I won't. Yeah, I do. But there's a hymn in the old Believer's Hymn Book, and I'll see if I can find it here. Let's see what it is here. It's under C. Let's see if I can find it. Nope, it's under H. Right here. So it's an old hymn. It's called "How I Praise Thee, Precious Savior, that Thy love laid hold of me, Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might Thy channel be." Chorus says, "Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. Just a channel full of blessing to the thirsty hearts around, to tell out Thy full salvation, all Thy loving message sound." And then the chorus again, "Channels only, blessed Master." Verse 3 says, "Emptied that Thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in Thine hand, with no power, but as Thou givest, graciously, with each command." Verse 4, "Witnessing Thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, Thou hast bought me to possess me. In Thy fullness, Lord, come in." The chorus, "Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour." Trust the Lord will bless the reading of His word, and we'll just close in prayer. Our God and loving Father, we thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your word, and we pray that we would listen to Your word. Oh, it's so easy to read it and to just discard it and to excuse it. Our choices of putting aside what You are trying to tell us. It's so easy for us to criticize others who aren't doing things. And yet, here we are, as we search our own life, we fail so miserably sometimes to be doers of just even the simplest things. Not even great profound things, just the simple things of a Christian life. And yet, we just can't seem to do them. And we pray that You would just help us to be willing to listen, to obey to Your word. And then, as we do that, to be channels through which You can work and do and fulfill your great purposes and plans. We thank you for our time together. We thank you for your word, for each one who's come out tonight. We just ask your blessing upon each one, giving thanks again for your love shown to us and your patience with us as we seek to live out our life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.